And each time as I read through those passages, certain things stick out to me. So I would just ask you to listen as I read this short account of one of their experiences of Jesus rising from the dead. And perhaps something sticks out to you today. Maybe it's while I'm reading. Maybe it's while we're doing this time of worship. Maybe it's while you're with your family today. But just listen. Matthew 28. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." I don't know about you, but those are pretty impactful words. The amazing truth that what God said he would do, he accomplished. And it gives us the ability to have life. It gives us the promise to know that one day we too will be with God for eternity. Because Jesus accomplished this amazing thing that no one else before has done. Why don't you pray with me and we'll continue in worship. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the fact that we get to celebrate what you accomplished and what only you could accomplish. God, we admit that we are in need of you. We are in need of a Savior for our life. So God, we praise you this day, and I pray that you would give us reminders throughout this entire day, throughout our entire life, of the price that you paid for us. We love you, Jesus, and we thank you. We pray this in your name. Amen. Let's continue. Thank you.
We want to take, obviously it's Easter, and we're glad you're with us. We say it every week, we mean it every week. You're not here by mistake, you're here by design. And our goal even this morning is to take, in my heart, as we've been approaching Easter and looking at Easter, is to take it from a ritual to reality, to understand that some of you are here, and you may be here, and it's just about being a ritual that you go on Easter, and it's because maybe someone's in the choir, or maybe someone, the kids, or because it's just Easter. And our goal today is not just to entertain you or to make you think, boy, we had a great Easter service. It's really not to do that at all. My goal today as a pastor of this church is to have you get forced to look at the ritual of Easter versus the reality of Easter and the cross in your life. So I want you just to focus on a video for the next few moments, and then we're just going to share together. If you'll dim the lights and run the video. Thank you.
Amazing grace.
How sweet the sound.
It saved.
An alcoholic.
Failure.
Agnostic.
Partier. Liar.
Drug addict.
A wretch.
Like me.
I once was
broken.
Resentful.
Helpless.
Depressed.
Out of control.
Abandoned.
Selfish.
Self-destructive.
Angry.
Confused.
Just lost.
But now,
I'm sober,
happy,
peaceful,
grateful,
free,
alive,
forgiven,
I'm found.
I was blind,
to God,
to faith,
to love,
pero ahora yo veo.
I see that I matter.
I see past my problems.
I see my Savior.
I see grace.
Amazing grace.
'Twas grace that taught my heart to fly, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace
Good morning. Some of you know me. My name is Billy Anderson.
Don't do that.
That was me. That was me for a long time. An addict, a liar, a cheat. But grace saved me. Everybody told me not to be nervous, but I am. But no. I grew up in a good home. What?
You're not here by mistake?
No, I'm here by design.
You're here by design.
There we go. I grew up in a good home. My dad was a preacher. And I had a good life. I had everything I wanted. He gave me everything I wanted. Good mother. She would do everything and still does. Will do anything for me. I don't know what went wrong. I do know what went wrong. I fell into everything from drugs, alcohol, women, you name it. From age of 16 till about a year ago. It wasn't fun. People say that that kind of that life is good, but it's not. It got me nowhere. I ended up homeless. I hurt a lot of people. Some of you are even here today. I'm sure I disappointed and let down. But by the grace of God, I'm here today to tell you that there's another way, and there's only one way. God. He can save you, help you, free you. It's awesome. It's awesome. It's awesome.
In this process, we talked about it, thinking that there's even people here who may be saying today, I don't know if I trust Billy.
Yeah.
And they have that right.
Every right too.
But you grew up in the church.
Yes.
You were the Christian kid.
Yeah, well.
We talked about ritual versus reality. Mm-hmm. You knew the ritual, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I did every week, come here with my mom and my son, and whatever, and it's not hard to put on a front.
But it wasn't reality.
No, it wasn't reality at all. No, I wasn't fooling anybody but myself.
What got you to the place a year ago that said, okay, I'm done?
I hit bottom. I just,
I guess that cardboard box for a home is quite a help, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that and the bridges that I burnt, it was time. It was time. I mean, I'd been struggling for the 6 months, whatever, before that even, knowing that, wasn't doing the right thing, wasn't getting anywhere. And then that morning you said Teen Challenge.
There's a program called Teen Challenge that I've used pretty often, and thought Billy was at the point. We'd been like this, Billy and I, and people here in the church. But I felt like that was the time you hit bottom.
Oh, yeah.
Finally, bottom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How had people enabled you? I mean, I don't want to offend anybody here, but we're talking about reality this week. Billy and I had a little conversation about, and this is going to be offensive to some, but don't BS a BSer.
Yeah.
That's the reality of what we were talking about.
Yeah.
Because he would... Now he's on the other end of that, seeing people do that to him. But there were people that enabled you, and you would lie or whatever. But what would you tell the people, either people here in this crowd that are where you were, maybe a good mask, they got the ritual going, or others who are enabling others who, at some point in time, did it need to be grace, but yet there was a line drawn?
It doesn't work. Don't think that people don't know. Don't don't try to, like I said, you're fooling nobody but yourself. You're not fooling God. He knows, and you be sure, like my dad used to say, be sure your sin will find you out. Yeah. Always. And it doesn't work. You may think it's going to work. But like me, just one lie on top of the other, one lie to cover another, lie to cover another. And it snowballs. And it doesn't work. And
the using people comes to an end.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. There's only you know. And I saw that happening, you know.
Teen Challenge, you checked in about a year ago.
Yeah.
About a year ago.
March 17th, 2011.
Yeah, and you've been clean.
Clean and sober.
Clean and sober.
Clean and sober.
Yeah, amen, huh?
Amen.
You're going back tomorrow.
I'm going back tomorrow.
But you're not going back in as a re-entry because you failed. You're going back in as a intern.
Yes.
To help other guys.
To help other guys for a while, yeah. I came out, 21 days ago, started to work. I was working. Everything. It's not that I'm going back because I fell or I slipped, no. But the Lord's led me that way. Certain circumstances have arose that it's just not feasible right now for me to be here.
Yeah.
And things happened over there, and they called me and want me to come back and help. I have a good rapport with all the guys there.
You're going back now instead of being ministered unto, you're going to be ministering.
Exactly.
That's a great thing.
Exactly.
Mom and Dad, what was the impact on your life and their life in this process? They were always there for you. They always prayed for you, cared mm-hmm. for you. But what do you think the impact on them was?
Before?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Dad's not here no more.
Yeah, I know.
I wish he was.
Dad's in glory. But
yes.
He sees it, right? Yes, he does.
Yes, he
his
does.
Prayer of his heart was that you get
yes.
it together.
Yes, yes. The impact on them. My dad, I tell everybody this, my dad was the closest thing to a righteous man that I've ever known. He never gave up on me. People used to tell him, you know, kick Bill to the curb, get rid of him, get rid of him, tough love, blah, blah, blah. My dad used to look him in the face and say, what would your Heavenly Father do? Has he ever turned you?
And your mom?
She's a little tougher. She once chased me around the backyard with a rake.
Yeah.
If that tells you anything, she's a little, no, she's great too. She's proud. I know she is.
Yeah.
My son's proud too. Yeah. My son had told me that he can see the big difference. When he drove me back from San Francisco, he said, you know what, there's a big change from when you went in. And that's good. Now I got to work on him.
Yeah.
Show him, you know.
You told me after coming back from San Francisco that your son had said, you know, Dad, I'm proud of you.
Yeah.
And I said, that's all you got to remember.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
To hear your son say, Dad, I'm proud of you now.
Exactly.
Pretty amazing, huh?
Yes. Very
still
amazing.
Challenges, aren't there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's
every
not.
Day.
Oh, every day. Every day.
Every day.
That's the thing. You think that everything's going to be peachy keen, or you know, it's not.
Yeah.
And I still have my struggles, I still have my temptations, trials, but I just keep praying and that things will work out, and the Lord's working them out. You know, you always worry, especially like my mom, she worries all the time, it doesn't do any good. You just gotta keep in prayer, and
we need to pray for Billy. Billy, as he heads back, he's gonna be going in there as some issues there. A young man got hurt there. He's going to be replacing him as an intern at the same time. Work issues, housing issues when he gets out back here, and just the issues of his life. I asked Billy how this came about a number of weeks ago when he came out, 20 days ago actually, 21 days ago mm-hmm. or so. I asked him to write me his testimony, just to write it. He knew none of this was happening. And I was just so moved about the way God, you knew the ritual of the church.
Mm-hmm.
You knew it all. You knew the stories. You grew up in the home. You knew the ritual, but he didn't have the reality. This last year, you came to the reality of what the cross is really all about.
Yes.
And this morning I thought that's exactly where my heart was. As we looked at this video together, Billy and I, he goes, that was me. That was me. That is me. You may be here today and have all the ritual figured out. You got it looking good. But do you know the reality of the cross? Do you know the reality that there's a God who loves you, sent his son to die for you? Have you tasted that amazing grace? We're going to end a little different this morning. Way different. Just a moment, we're going to be singing Amazing Grace. And I want you, if you're here this morning, you say, you know what, I know the ritual. But God struck a chord in my heart this morning, and I want to know the reality. I'm going to ask, actually, Bill, I'm going to ask you to take your chair and just sit right down there, if you do that. And you want to come as we sing, and you want to say, you know what, I'm going to pray for Billy, or I'm going to say, I'm here. We won't know. But you say, I need that. I need to know the grace. I need the reality of the cross. We're not going to embarrass you in any way. We want you to come and just stand right here. Say, I need that grace. Or I'm going to pray for, I'm praying for somebody in that needs grace. Maybe they're here today. To understand the reality of the cross. No coercion. It's not a game. But if God spoke to your heart this morning, you say, I want to come in and just a visual demonstration of saying, God, I'm in need of that reality. I'm praying for someone in that reality. I'm praying and thankful for Billy in that reality. I'm going to ask you to come as we begin singing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Billy, but you may be here saying, I need the reality of that life. Those of you who are praying and saying, God, I need this, I need that. I want you to know his grace is always going to be enough. Always is going to be enough. It's never going to run out. Just like his dad said, what would Jesus do? Listen, his grace is that well is deep and it's never ending. And we will struggle and we will have those struggles, but his grace is always enough. As we go out this morning, understand the cross is about grace. The empty tomb was about grace, and it will always be enough in your life, always, if you will just trust him, if you will just live that grace, if you'll consider God and live that way. I pray that as we leave in just a moment, you will understand the reality of the cross and not just the ritual of a Sunday morning. His grace is always enough. Would you stand with us? Paul, take us out of here, okay? His grace is enough. Let's sing it together.